Welcome to the Sportscast, September 14th, 2018, part two of our Sportscast today, and we're going to go into more college football. Our first episode was about NFL. We were going with Jeff talking about, you know, how great Kansas City is and you know, how things are going to pan out for the AFC, and the NFC looks pretty crowded. But we're going to go to college football and maybe a little bit of boxing with Ty Turner. Welcome, Ty Turner, to the Sportscast.
What's up, dude?
So,
how you doing?
Good, man. Really excited. I think week one was great for the NFL. Your boy Aaron Rodgers came back as a hero.
Yeah, crazy. They were, oh man, they were anemic. He got hurt. They couldn't do anything offensively when he was in. Then Kaiser came in, turned the ball over two times. Khalil Mack made a sack fumble and then took a touchdown to the house. And then it was 20-0. I thought the game was over. I thought Rodgers was out. I didn't know how long. He went off in a cart. Halftime, he comes out and throws three touchdowns, a game winner to Randall Cobb at a 78-yard, like 5-yard slant route, and they won. So it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and the question is, will they come back? I mean, will he come back for this weekend against Minnesota?
You know, people are saying yes. He's questionable. I actually don't want him to. I want him to heal up. We might lose to Minnesota. That's okay.
Minnesota's looking pretty good.
And I'd rather him to be ready for the whole season. And probably the toughest game we have in the next six games is Minnesota. So I'd almost rather have him just heal up and come back in a couple weeks when he's ready. I think they have a Thursday night game against Washington. Maybe I'm wrong, but whenever the next game is, I know it's against Washington. Maybe come back for that. And just be ready. I mean, I don't think he had any serious damage, but it was enough that he couldn't practice this week. And he was moving very gingerly, but what an amazing comeback. And what, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, greatest quarterback of all time. Get your heart out, Tom Brady.
Yeah, it for sure it's probably one of the most memorable moments, I guess. I mean, it is a regular season, but if it was a playoff game, it would be more memorable than a regular season game. But definitely, he's one of the greatest. He's in my top two. He's with Brady. One or two, it depends who you ask. I don't know. Yeah, sometimes I think it's more Brady because he's been more in Super Bowls, but that's a whole different show.
Yeah, he's won five. Yeah, I mean, Brady's won five, too. He's won five, played in eight. Rodgers won one and played one.
Yeah.
But just, I think it's just kind of just how he is and some of his victories. And, you know, he has the best QBR in league history, passer rating.
Yeah.
In league history. Just doesn't make a lot of mistakes, makes a lot of big plays. And I think that's kind of, and also Brady had Belichick. And I think Belichick is kind of unquestionably the greatest coach of all time in the NFL. So I think it kind of be like, if Rodgers played with Belichick, he probably would win more titles. He would. I mean, Mark McCarthy is not even a good coach. He's really not. So, there's an argument. I can see the argument from Brady. He's won five Super Bowls. But I think Rodgers is, as a whole, you know, everything he brings, he's definitely a better athlete than Brady.
Yeah.
There you go.
Speaking about quarterbacks, maybe the best college quarterback in football might be Justin Herbert. I don't think it's debatable. I think obviously he's played two weak teams, but I think he's definitely has potential to be the best. Do you think he's the best?
I'm an Oregon. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I have Aaron Rodgers, so he's my dude. I'm an Oregon Duck fan. Justin Herbert, yeah, he's my dude. But just from a pragmatic standpoint, first two games they played very poor teams, and the third game against poor team. Basically, they're playing the deaf, the blind, and the dumb in the first three games. Sorry if that offends anyone, but the three teams they're playing against, he's doing what he's going to do. I am interested to see how it carries over. The reason why I think what I would say about Justin Herbert is he is the best arm talent in college football. And that is why he's projected to probably be the number one quarterback drafted in the 2019 draft. I mean, no one else can make. I sent you those links. I mean, he throws a 50-yard rope between two defenders. He last week he was rolling to his left, threw across his body a 30-yard strike to the receiver. His touch, his accuracy, just his overall arm strength. I mean, the way he's able to just take a ball 60 yards and throw it on a dime is I mean, it's an NFL. He's an NFL quarterback. He just is. He's an NFL talent. I still, you know, he last year as a freshman he came in. It was a terrible team. He played well as a freshman. I think he threw 19 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So he played well. They just were a bad team. They fired the staff. He had a whole new coaching staff come in. The first 5 games, they were 4-1. He was 3-0 at home. I forgot what his numbers were exactly. But then he broke his arm. He broke his collarbone, sorry, in the his 5th game of the season against California at home. They then went on to be 1-4 without him, and they looked terrible. I mean, when they didn't have Justin Herbert, they looked terrible. And then he came back. They looked great, won 2 more games, and then that coach left and took half the staff with him. And then this year he is a new – so he's on his 3rd head coach in his 3rd season. So he's had to overcome a lot. But I just go off of his numbers the last 2 years at home. He's 8-0. Offhand, I think he's like 19 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. He's also had 3-4 rushing touchdowns. Especially at home, he's been extremely dominant. And but the big test will be next week at Stanford. And you'll probably have me on before then. But it's going to be College Game. It looks like College Game Day is going to be in Eugene. It's going to be the best matchup next week in college football. It's going to be a matchup between probably a top 10 Stanford versus a top 20 Oregon. So it's the premier matchup, and that's where you'll see, is Justin Herbert the best quarterback, or is he still just the guy who's probably the most talented? Because there's other really good quarterbacks out there. You got Will Greer for West Virginia. You got Tua Talavega for Alabama. You got
I can name a few.
Rock for Missouri. Yeah, but we'll see. But if Justin Herbert's able to take them to a Pac-12 North title, if he's able to take them to a Pac-12 title, if he's by chance able to take them to the college football playoffs like I'm projecting, yeah, he's the best quarterback in college football, because honestly, their roster is still, their depth isn't very good. They reek at certain positions, like wide receiver, they're not very good at. Honestly, that's the tragic thing. You have this great quarterback, and they probably don't have one of the better wide receiving cores in the Pac-12. So it's kind of unfortunate because they've dropped so many passes, and it's been kind of discouraging to watch. But we'll see. But if he's able to lead them to a Pac-12 title, yeah, I think he wins the Heisman Trophy, because without Justin Herbert, they're a team that's probably 7-5 this year. With Justin Herbert, if they're able to go like 11-1 or 12-1, yeah, I mean, not only would he be the most talented, he'd probably be considered the best. And I would think he'd probably win the Heisman Trophy if that happened to happen.
Now, if you were to stick him with the 2018 quarterback class with Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Bakefield, and like the others, where would you rank him from those top six?
That was it was a much better class. His talent, he's a little like a Josh Allen in the big arm. He's big. He's like Allen's size. He's like the 6'6", 240. He has a big arm like Allen. Maybe not quite as good as Allen, but close. Probably a little more athletic than Allen. He probably can run a little better. So he's like I would consider him a little more polished version of Josh Allen. So I think he's the only one of what was a great quarterback class. He's the only one that could compete with those guys. I just think guys like Jared Stidham, Will Greer, Drew Locke are not quite as talented as like a Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, you know?
Yeah.
The one guy I'm kind of wondering about is Will Greer. He kind of is a little Baker Mayfield-ish, meaning he's just kind of that gunslinger, baller, doesn't really pass the eyeball test, but just make plays. And without him, that team is not very good. With him, they're a team that could win the Big 12. So Will Greer is the one I would say, in my opinion, he probably can move well. He's strong, probably has good speed too, probably a sub-4.7. Probably would run a faster 40 than the rest at the combine. So, arm strength wise, I think he's more talented than anyone last year, but there were some very good quarterbacks. Josh Rosen's very good. Sam Darnold's very good. He'd be in there, but he's much more competitive than this year. I think if he comes out, he's the first one taken, unless something crazy happens, like he just falls apart this year or gets hurt or something.
Which I doubt. And in the USA Today article, they put Herbert at number 6, and they put Jared Stidham right in front of him from Auburn, Will Greer from West Virginia, Ryan Finley from North Carolina State, and second, Mackenzie Milton from Central Florida, and first they put Tracy McSorley from Penn State.
Oh, is that for like the best college quarterback this year?
Correct, from a USA Today article.
Where was Herbert?
Herbert was number 6.
Oh, yeah, I don't agree with that. When was that article written?
It was written by USA Today by Paul Meyerberg.
When?
Actually, it was June 26. A little old.
Yeah, I mean, I think his start, he's really looked impressive. I know he's been his stock's been rising. Like, a guy like Finley, a guy like Stinnem, they haven't looked quite as sharp early on. So I can already hear people kind of, there's some guys like, there's Finley, there was hearing some good things about Jake Bentley from South Carolina. But already their performances early in the season have gotten them going down. So I think Herbert, even in that guy's eyes, would probably be about third right now.
Ryan Krista.
Will Greer's played very well.
Ryan Krista says Will Greer is better.
Will Greer is, well, for one, I respect Ryan Finley's opinion. Two, how much of Justin Herbert has he watched?
Probably none, because it's so late at night, the games.
Yeah. So you can't say someone's better when you haven't watched them. I know he's watched Greer. He's a Florida fan. He wants to play in Florida. And then he, you know, West Virginia. So to say someone's better and not watch them, I don't know. I don't know. I like Ryan. So
I know.
I don't think he's seen Herbert play that much. But Will Greer is a very good college quarterback.
Can you compare Herbert to a NFL quarterback today besides Josh Allen, which he hasn't played yet, but who would you compare him to?
I'm going to go off talent here. I'm going to say he's kind of like a – I think he's a better version of Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
He's kind of a big ass. Like, Herbert can run. The thing is the guy, he can get outside the pocket. Also, if you don't contain him or if you're behind him, he can actually outrun you. Like, there's several clips I've seen since his freshman year where there's a linebacker and he literally just outruns the linebacker. So that's what makes him kind of like a really nice athlete. And then he has a big arm, and Trubisky had a big arm. So I hope he's better than Trubisky. I've not been that impressed with Trubisky through. I mean, he still could grow, but I thought he kind of like completely flopped at the end of last year. At the end of the last game, he just didn't do anything in the end. Rodgers leads us to victory, and Trubisky couldn't do anything. So I would say I think Herbert's going to be better than Trubisky, but I think he kind of compares to him athletically. Maybe like a Ryan Tannehill, but once again, I think he's just that athlete. You know, like Tannehill's a good athlete. Tannehill played wide receiver at one point at Texas A&M.
He did.
He's Herbert's a good enough athlete to probably could have played tight end for a Division I school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, whereas, you know, you have the typical, like, pro quarterbacks. If they were, did make it as a quarterback, you really couldn't play any other position. Like, Sam Darnold's not going to play anything else. But then there's a couple guys, like a Cam Newton or a Mitch Trubisky or a Ryan Tannehill that possibly could play college football as a wide receiver as a tight end. So, yeah, that's who I compare him to.
One of our comments, Talking Dog 2491, asks, do you think Jared Stidham has an NFL future?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Auburn's offense is great for Jared Stidham. It doesn't utilize his ability, because I saw him play at Baylor, and he even made a couple throws in that Washington game. I mean, he has a good arm. He has a strong arm. I just think that offense that Auburn, Gus Malzahn's offense, is definitely college centered. But I think in a pro offense, Jared Stidham will do some things. I think he'll be I don't know how good, but I think he's a guy that's a first, second round pick. I think he's probably next year. If I have Herbert leaving, I have Herbert going first, I probably would go Drew Locke or Jared Stidham second. I like some things Locke does better. I think Locke has a little stronger arm. But in some ways, I like athletically Jared Stidham a little better. He's also been more successful, a little more talent at Auburn. But I would consider those the top three quarterbacks from what I see. Guys that I think can really make those NFL throws. It's tough. The NFL, they're so fast, they're so athletic. You have people right in your face. The best of the best. You have to make crazy throws. And many guys just can't make them. But I could see Stidham. He can make some pretty good throws. I just don't love that offense for him.
Let's recap last weekend's games. Stanford defeats USC. What are your thoughts?
Oh, sorry. I don't know what happened. I all of a sudden was calling someone else. My phone. What did you say?
We're recapping last week's games. What's your thoughts about Stanford defeating USC 17-3?
Hold on, I accidentally called someone. They're okay. Calling me back. Okay, so did I get cut off? Because I don't know what happened.
No, not at all. No, not at all. It feels like you're still on the line. I didn't hear one hang up. So, one hiccup.
Okay. Sorry, I ended up calling my sister-in-law. Holy crazy.
Not good.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What did you ask me?
What are your thoughts about Stanford defeats USC 17-3? Was that a shocker for you?
No, not really. No. Stanford's pretty good. Like, I'll talk about it a little bit more, but I actually think that I'm an Oregon fan, and I'm going to tell you, I think Stanford beats them.
Wow.
As long as they're I think Oregon comes back and wins. I actually think they probably come back and win the rest of their games. But I don't like the Stanford game because Stanford is, for one, they have a great running back, Rice Love. Really good, some great offensive linemen. Walker Little was a 5-star. He's their sophomore tackle. He's just a stud. He's going to be an NFL in 2 years. First round pick. Foster Farrell is a good guy. He got hurt, actually. Then they have a couple other guys. Can't remember the names. Two studs at tight end. Smith. It's Callum Smith. Look up the tight end. Caden Smith. Stud. Cody Parkinson, stud. Both guys will be in the NFL at tight end. Crazy fact, Stanford has as many tight ends on NFL rosters, more so than any other team in college football. At wide receiver, you got Arcega Whiteside. Big, athletic guy. Trent Irwin, big athletic guy. KJ Costello, pretty good quarterback. He probably will be in the NFL. I don't know if he leaves this year, probably more next year, but he's probably a guy who gets drafted in the middle rounds. So you got a lot of talent there. I mean, you got, like, I said, NFL linemen, a couple NFL tight ends, a couple wide receivers probably could play in the NFL, a running back's going to play in the NFL. You got 6-7 guys on there that are legitimate NFL guys. I'm talking about first four round guys. They're pretty good. And a solid defense. The defense is only giving up 13 points first 2 weeks. 3 points against USC. USC didn't look good, but part of it was Stanford. Good front seven. Big physical D-backs. Disciplined team. Team that plays good offense, solid defense. They're not going to be very easy to beat. A lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Could Stanford make the college football playoff? Yeah. Yeah, they could. Yeah, I mean, they have a tough schedule. They play at Oregon. They play at Notre Dame. They play at Washington. Then they play the Pac-12 championship game. So they have probably four more games against top 20 teams. I could see them losing one or two. I'd say that Oregon Notre Dame is going to be the toughest schedule, but Stanford's good. They look good, and they dominated Stanford offensively, defensively. It was 17-3, easy victory. Looks like they barely broke a sweat.
Also, another big game. Clemson defeated Texas A&M 28-26. That was pretty close.
Yeah, barn burner. I was impressed with A&M. They came amped at College Station.
Yeah,
they were ready to play. Kellen Mond threw for 400 yards. Had some really good targets at wide receiver. Played pretty good defense in the second half. I really think Trevor Lawrence is better than Kelly Bryant. I kind of wish they would just stay with Lawrence. I just don't think Bryant is quite the talent. He's a good runner. He's a good leader, but Trevor Lawrence is one of the he's a guy that in 2 years will be the first pick in the draft, in my opinion. I mean, he's just a really, really great, crazy arm talent. Number two rated prospect coming out of high school. Army All-American. So that's a big-time player. And I wish they'd just ride with him. But, yeah, I was impressed with Texas A&M. They came to play. They had their chances to win that game. Clemson won. So
tough road game.
They're undefeated. Yeah,
very victory. Very tough road game. And lastly, Georgia defeats South Carolina 41-17.
You know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't see that game.
It's okay.
But what I heard was, I heard it was a pretty dominating performance by Georgia. They pretty much had their way with South Carolina. That's what I've heard. Heard they ran, ran for a lot of yards on them. So I didn't see the game, but it sounded like Georgia pretty easily won that game.
And let's go over the 24. Let's go over the top 10 AP poll. It was released this past week, September 9th. Alabama first, Clemson number two, then Georgia, Ohio State, and number four, Oklahoma at number five, Wisconsin number six, Auburn at number seven, Notre Dame at eight, nine Stanford, and 10 Washington. How do you see the top 10?
It's early in the season. It's all about projectability. I don't mind it right now. There's some of those teams that I think are going to fall off. I'm still not convinced about Notre Dame. They didn't look very good against Ball State. So I don't know. They have some tough games. They play Stanford, USC. They play Florida State later in the season, who Florida State looks terrible, by the way. But anyway, Virginia Tech is good. Virginia Tech's right outside the top 10. So I don't know. We'll see what Notre Dame's all about. And then,
that's not bad.
And then I'd say, who's some other games I really like? Teams I like. Name the top 10 again.
Yeah. We'll go backwards. Number 10, Washington. Number 9, Stanford. 8, Notre Dame. Auburn, 7th. 6 is Wisconsin. 5th, Oklahoma. 4th, Ohio State. 3rd, Georgia. Number 2, Clemson. And number 1, Alabama.
Okay. Ohio State plays Texas Christian, so we'll know a little bit more about them. Washington plays at Utah, who just lays outside the top 25. It's a big conference game. And they already have a loss. So if Washington loses, I think they'll definitely fall way down there.
Yeah.
Probably outside the top 20. Stanford's looked really good. Stanford's looked really good. If you wonder why I'm breathing and walking steps.
It's probably cold up there, isn't it?
No, in Minnesota, no. It's like 90s or like 80s.
Okay.
It's not cold at all. 8, Notre Dame, a lot of tough games left. I mean, yeah, I guess right now we're going to find out a lot more.
Yeah, it's still
just, you don't know where it's going
to
be.
Yeah, it's still unraveling. I think by like week eight, we'll start to know.
Yeah, Alabama's where they should be. Defending national champions, amazing offense, but they have to be number one. Then you put Clemson. I think Georgia's looked a little better than Clemson. Georgia beat a top 25 team a lot more than Clemson beat a team not in the top 25. Somebody put Georgia second. They also were second for the national title last year, so that makes sense. Ohio State's look really good. Teams that they play are not very good. We'll know more about them. But if they beat Texas Christian in Texas Christian without Urban Meyer, if they end up hanging like 42 on them, beat them like 42-17, Ohio State would have an argument to be number two or number three. And then Wisconsin, they have not played anyone yet. And I don't know when they do play anyone. I'm not looking right at their schedule. But until they play people, I would actually continue to drop them because they're playing not very good teams. And they didn't even look that great last week against New Mexico at home. So they're a team that I would drop. I think they have the potential. But they have to win some of these games. They have to beat Michigan. They have to beat I know they play Nebraska. They play – I don't know who else. I'm not looking at their schedule right now. But and then number seven is who's number seven?
Number
eight is Notre Dame. Number nine is Stanford.
And number seven is Auburn War Eagle.
They play LSU. I actually think LSU wins.
Ooh.
If LSU wins, LSU's in the top 10. LSU with two top 25 victories would have an argument to be top five.
I really do think LSU is going to win that game. I have a good feeling they will.
Yeah, I liked how they looked. I didn't love how Auburn looked opening week. I didn't like how Auburn or Washington looked. I wasn't really impressed. And I wasn't really impressed with either one last week. I just think there's some holes. I don't think Auburn's very good in the defensive backfield. I also don't think they're amazing at the skill positions like wide receiver and running back is kind of odd for them. They're good in the front seven, but we'll see if it comes back to affect them a little bit. But, I probably right now have, like, I probably put, like my top 10 would probably be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State probably third. I'd actually probably, like, have Stanford fourth, and I probably at number five would put, like, LSU. From what I've seen so far, but we'll see.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Well, that wraps up our college recap with Tyler. Tyler is the college man. And let's go to the U.S. Open. Novak Djokovic wins his U.S. Open. What are your thoughts? Is he the best? Is he the GOAT?
Well, I think he's the GOAT, but no one else is going to think that. Everyone says that Federer is. So. But Novak won his 14th major. He tied Pete Sampras. He has won four or five. He's won nine hard courts, six Australian Opens, three U.S. Opens. I think when Novak Djokovic has played his best, when he doesn't have personal issues or he's not dealing with an injury, and he's really locked in, you saw him do that run in 2011 where I think he won four out of five. And then I think it was 2014 to 2016. I think he won. At one time, he held all four simultaneously. I think he won like five out of six. And now you're seeing him win two in a row. I could definitely see him. I definitely think he's a favorite for the Australian. I'm not a betting person, but I'd be willing to wager he wins the Australian. The French is always going to be tough to beat, Rafael, but I could see Novak winning two or three next year, winning the next like four out of five majors. Because when he is playing his best, when he's on a roll, he's tough to beat. I mean, he's the greatest returner of all time. His ground strokes are some of the best in tennis history, if not the best. He's in incredible condition, and he flexibility and his ability just to, like, when he's on the defense, when he's really on, he breaks your serve almost as much as he makes his own serves. It's really phenomenal to watch. And, Federer's getting older. Nadal is good. Nadal still, I would say, if I were to rate them, you have to say Federer's first.
Yeah.
He's won 20 majors. I like Djokovic more, but when you win 20. Now, people would say Nadal second. The thing is, Nadal has won 11 French Opens. He's the greatest clay player ever. But if you take away the clay, when you compare him on grass and hard court to Novak Djokovic, Djokovic has won 13 to his 6. So he's definitely the superior overall player, while also winning one on clay himself, beating Nadal in the semifinals. No. He actually beat him the year before in the semifinals and lost in the finals, but he's beat him even on the clay. So Djokovic also has a winning record against Federer. He also has a winning record against Nadal. Djokovic has a winning record, actually, against every single player on tour. And to go along with his 14 majors, in my opinion, he's the second greatest player of all time, except for the clay, for Nadal. And I think if he can put together these next 2 years, you know, a couple more next year, a couple more the year after, all of a sudden he's up there at that 17, 18, 19. He's challenging Federer for the most all time. Then, you know, but I think the three greatest tennis players of all time are Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal.
And no Pete Sampras.
Everyone else. No. Pete Sampras was one of the greatest on grass, but Pete Sampras actually wasn't even good on clay. I don't think he even made a final. Or if he did, he might have made a final. And, I mean, he's good, but I'm talking about comparably to the greats.
Yeah.
And then on hard courts, I don't know how many Sampras win 7 or 8 Wimbledons. But he probably won 5 or 6 on hard court. So he's good. And he's in the top five, but no, I don't think he's as good as Djokovic, Federer, at all. They're the three greatest ever.
Yeah.
I'd argue.
Yeah, Novak. Yeah, Novak has won 3 U.S. Opens, 4 Wimbledons, 1 French Open, and 6 Australian Opens. So he's had a good resume.
Well, impressive, man.
And Pete Sampras has won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Wimbledons.
7 Wimbledons. So he won 7 Wimbledons. How many U.S. Opens did he win?
5.
And he won...
1 French Open. No, he actually won the semifinal in the French Open, did not win it, and 2 Australian Opens.
Yeah. No, he didn't even, that's what I thought. He didn't even make a final on the clay. But, so, and that's another thing. Like, he's great, but, like, okay, Federer won on all the surfaces. Yes, Federer was probably strongest on the grass, but he won the U.S., he won the Australian, and he won the French. No, Djokovic might be strongest in the courts, but he won a French, and he's won 4 Wimbledons. Whereas, Sampras didn't even win one on a surface clay. So you can't even, and same with Nadal. Nadal's won mostly French, but he has won, I think, 1 Australian. I think he's won 2 U.S. Opens, and he won 2 Wimbledons. So he's won on all surfaces. That automatically eliminates Sampras. He didn't win on all the surfaces. Therefore, he's not as good as those three. And, those are the three best. I don't think there's a real logically strong argument to say anyone's better than those three. Not McEnroe, not Laver, not Borg, none of them. Like, I don't think there's a strong argument as an entire player you could say you're better than Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic.
So we're living in the best time of tennis right now, the golden years of tennis.
Yeah, I think the statistics show that. Yeah.
Well, and the women's, of course, is the Williams sisters. They're probably the best ever for women.
Oh, Serena, not Venus. There's been many players better than Venus.
Okay.
Serena's greatest ever.
Which, what'd you think about that whole situation this past weekend where she was arguing with the official?
She was out of line. I mean, it was not appropriate.
Yeah, well, you know. Sore loser, I guess. You got to...
That's all I'm gonna say. It was bad sportsmanship.
Exactly. Well, that's enough tennis. Tennis is the only tennis contributor to the sportscast. Let's move on to boxing. We've never covered boxing. Big fight this weekend. Gennady versus Canelo this Saturday, 8 p.m., 5 p.m. Pacific, in Las Vegas, $84 on pay-per-view. Who do you think is going to win?
84. That's crazy. They charge so much on pay-per-view. That's nuts.
Used to be $100.
I mean, the first fight, I had Gennady Golovkin winning 7-4 with one even. I thought he was the busier fighter. Canelo fought in spurts. He looked good early on, looked good late. But in the middle of the fight, he didn't throw enough punches. I think Gennady looked his best. Gennady's getting up there. Gennady, I believe, is 36 years old. He's been a champion for, I don't know right offhand, but I think it's been close to 7-8 years. He's had, he's up there getting close to even Hopkins when it comes to defenses of his title. He's definitely one of the greatest middleweights. He's probably the greatest middleweight of the last decade. I'd say he's in the top 10 of all time. But he's getting old, and Canelo's young. I lost a lot of respect for Canelo. Not only did I not think he deserved the draw the last time, but then in the rematch, he tested positive clenbuterol and said it was tainted meat, got suspended. So basically this fight got delayed 6 months at least. I can't remember, but it's been delayed. It's been delayed. They fought a year ago, and Canelo's actually not fought since then. And Gennady had one fight in between there against Venus Moriarty, and it was kind of a gimme fight, knocked him out in the second round. But you know, who I'll be cheering for, Gennady Golovkin. He's one of my favorite players. I just like him. He's a determined guy. He comes to fight. You always know he's going to be there, throwing his punches, throwing his shots. He brings the fight to people. I think he's not looked as good over the last couple of years. I wasn't very impressed with his performance against Jacobs. Came away with a split decision. I wasn't very impressed with him against Canelo. Partly it's because Jacobs and Canelo, they are better. They're good middleweights. I'm going to go. I think it's going to be a decision. But I think this time, I think it's going to be a close fight. I think, once again, Gennady has a little trouble with the faster Canelo moving. He's younger. I think he has trouble. But I think he, once again, brings the fight to him. And I've seen Canelo fight for years. I've seen him fight, you know, Floyd Mayweather. I saw him fight Austin Trout. I saw him fight Arislande Lara. And I've always thought that he just fights in spurts every year. At times, Canelo just is not active. And I think he's been rewarded for that sometimes unjustly. I thought he's given rounds, and I thought fights have been closer than they should have been for a guy that just wasn't very active. I do personally do not like, if you're not active, you better not be getting hit. And the other guy better kind of be inactive too, or better be missing a lot of punches. I just think he gets hit a little enough for his lack of activity. And he doesn't land enough real significant power punch blows to make up for his lack of activity. And I don't know how that's going to change a guy that's been fighting for over a decade, and he's kind of had this history of always not being super active. I just don't see it happening. And I know Gennady's going to be active. And I know Gennady's going to come to fight. And I know the judges kind of know that the first fight, Gennady probably should have won. And one of the scorecards was just ridiculous in the favor of Canelo. When most people thought, at best, it was a draw, but probably lost. And one judge scored it 10 rounds to 2 for Canelo. Ridiculous. So I think Gennady wins. I think Gennady wins a close to unanimous decision, 7-5. I think it's kind of true to what the fight is. I think he just is a little busier, and I think he steals the middle rounds. And I think Gennady wins.
Gennady is undefeated. Canelo has one loss, which came from Mayweather Jr. So
yep,
we'll see if Gennady continues. He is 36 years old. He had 38 wins, 35 wins by knockout, and one draw. And Canelo is 28 years old, 49 wins, 34 wins by knockout, one loss, and two draws. My boxing friend Carmine Tofano says this will be the fight of the year.
You know what? I hope it's better. You know what I think it could be? I hope it's better than the first one. I just want more than the first one. I want more action.
Well, there you go.
You know what? I'm rooting for Gennady. I like Gennady, but even if Gennady lost and it was in a more exciting fight, I would feel more fulfilled than if Gennady wins just because Canelo doesn't throw enough punches. So I want a fight. I want it to be a barn burner where they just go at it and we walk away saying that was what we thought we would get from Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin. That's what I want. So
it should be bigger than the Logan Paul versus KSI fight.
Oh, my God. I'm commenting on that.
Okay. Those are two YouTubers, audience, and you just Google it, and I'm sure you can find it. Anyways, let's go for predictions for this weekend. Let's start with Boise State at Oklahoma State.
Boise.
All right.
I like Boise. I like that team. I think they're going to be a sleeper in the non-Power 5.
I'll go for Oklahoma State because they're playing at home. LSU at Auburn.
LSU.
Okay. Ohio State at TCU.
I think it's on the road. They're not Urban Meyer's, not on the sidelines. TCU is well coached. Gary Patterson is well known as one of the best coaches in college football. I think they come in amped. I think Ohio State makes some mistakes. I think TCU sneaks out of there with the upset victory at Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. That's good. I think Ohio State will still do it. I think they got a lot more to prove, but we'll see what happens. But I think Ohio State. And finally, San Jose at Oregon.
I think San Jose State pulls off the upset. I'm just kidding.
I have a feeling.
This is San Jose State 0-2 lost to an FCS program the first week. Is giving up is 128th passing defense in college football, playing against maybe the best quarterback in college football at home. Yeah, I'm gonna go 63-21.
And Alabama and Mississippi.
Your boy Justin is like really seriously sweating this.
Every game he sweats.
He like thinks that they're gonna. He needs to stop sweating. He's won 5 national titles. I mean, come on. I just think Ole Miss doesn't have enough on defense because of the probation. They lost so much depth. They're not going to be able to keep up to them. I think they have some great receivers. Brown is the best receiver in college football. He's going to be a top 10 draft pick. I like Jordan Tamu, the quarterback. He's a big time player. I mean, he's a great college quarterback. I don't think he's an NFL guy, but he's a guy who can get it done at the college level. And there's a couple other receivers. Can't remember the names offhand. They're really good. So, and Greg Little is a pro. His guy that's going to be a first-round draft pick at tackle. So they have talent on offense. They have a couple guys that are going to be first-round draft picks. I just don't see it on defense. I don't see the depth. I say they hang in there at halftime, and then the fighting Tui Talavegas, and you get Najee Harris and Damian Harris and just kind of like running over you, and Jonah Williams Alex Leatherwood and all the other 7 future first-round draft picks they have on their offense. I see it being 49-31.
High-scoring match.
High-scoring. I hate to give Alabama props, but I think Tua Talavega is the best quarterback in the Nick Saban era. I mean, he's really good. I think in 2 years he goes in the first round. I think he's a big time player, and he has big time talent around him. His receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. I don't even know how much he's playing, but he's just tremendous. Najee Harris, Damian Harris in the background, in the backfield. Sorry, they're going to be tough to beat this year. I really think Alabama wins it all again. So,
and,
yeah, I don't see him losing this week.
Yeah, which, by the way, Alabama has lost at Mississippi, so keep that in mind historically.
This is not the game they're going to lose. If they lose a game this year, it's going to be to, like, LSU.
Yeah.
That's a game they could lose.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's at LSU, too, if I'm not mistaken. But not this game.
And finally, Vikings at Green Bay.
I kind of said what I said. If we see Rodgers either not playing or he plays and he's just not 100%, I actually think the Vikings win.
I think so, too. It feels like
Of course I want Green Bay to win. But I just a 50-50 Rodgers or Rodgers not – if Rodgers is playing all, they don't have a chance. Kaiser looked horrible last week. And while I liked some of the stuff that I saw from the receiving corps, it was Rodgers making play. I mean, yeah, Ronald Todd, that was great. You know, he took a sack, ran for a touchdown. Davante Adams, nice play. Adams might not even play, too. Adams might not be playing this weekend. And then Geronimo Allison made some nice plays. He made that nice touchdown. I think it was a 47-yard touchdown. But, again, an amazing throw. With Kaiser in there, I don't see him making those throws. I don't consider any of those guys outside of maybe Adams really a Pro Bowl-type wide receiver. Backfield, I wasn't impressed, really, with Jamal Williams or Montgomery last week. So, I don't know. And then that defense, Bears had a pretty good defense, but the Vikings have a very, very good defense. So, yeah, I hate to say it because I hate the Vikings, but I just think they win. So, but I want that. I mean, I'm Packers all day.
And Tyler is on fire today. We'll just squeeze one more. Patriots at the Jaguars.
At the Jaguars?
Yeah, at Jacksonville.
I'll go Jacksonville. Okay. I mean, that's one of the better defenses. It's not the best in the NFL. Yeah.
And
is Jalen Ramsey back or is he suspended?
No, Ramsey's back. Ramsey will be going up against Gronk.
Oh, sweet.
That should be a good one.
He's one of the biggest trash talkers in college football.
Oh, yeah.
Holy.
And then you got Jack. Man, Jacksonville, youth and speed. That secondary is amazing.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, their defense is
yeah, bombing.
It's nice.
And random question, what is your favorite Rocky movie?
I guess Rocky 1.
Okay, Rocky 1. Rocky Run is 2-0 today. With Jeff picked Rocky 1, I picked Rocky 2. And how can people reach you, Tyler?
Doing bad. TT Turner, Minneapolis, MPLS, not the whole Minneapolis, on Twitter. Same on Instagram.
Which game will you be looking forward to this weekend?
Oregon's the game I'm most looking forward to in Green Bay on Sunday, so I'm Oregon Green Bay.
Okay.
But the other games that I'm gonna check out is LSU Auburn, but TCU probably in Ohio State. If you're gonna go outside of Oregon, I really kind of want to see Ohio State without Urban Meyer on the road against TCU, and I like some of the things Gary Patterson does as a coach. So probably that one. NFL. Green Bay, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's it. And, of course.
But now that you said New England, Jacksonville, though, I might have my eye on that one.
There's a lot of games. There's like six plus the boxing match.
Oh, I'm pumped.
This weekend.
This weekend, if you're going to say what's the one thing you're most looking forward to, Gennady Golovkin versus Canelo rematch. For sure. Yeah. Now, next weekend, Stanford, Oregon. But this weekend, Gennady Golovkin versus Canelo. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll probably go into a restaurant to watch that. I'm not going to pay $84.
I might pay $84. I can't go. I have kids, man. I can't be going to a restaurant.
Well, anyways, Tyler, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. Guys, watching sports, do not forget to subscribe on Periscope, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave us a rating and a rank. And that'd be all for today. We'll wrap it up. Next week, we'll recap again some games and a couple more games next week. Anyways, Tyler, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Okay, thank you very much.